I have often said the two most common things that a pastor fixes are toilets. I jiggle a lot of toilet chains, I feel like, and a limited view of possibilities. Perhaps it's the volume of people in a church or the way we act when we're in a church, but there's a high percentage of toilet talk, serve on trustees for a while, or repair in a church. We also find ourselves needing to rely on the movement of the Holy Spirit. So you've probably heard me say, I wish I talked as much about sanctification as I do about toilets. So today's my chance to get to talk about sanctification. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, described three kinds of graces as a part of the house. The prevenient grace, that is the porch, God who goes before us, inviting us, preparing us, long before we invite, we are invited, preparing us long before we join God in relationship. The justifying grace, Eileen did a beautiful job here, the just as if I never, bringing us in to the rooms of the house, fully in relationship with God. And I thank Janice and Joan and Melanie and the whole VBS gang for last week sharing with us that Vacation Bible School wrap-up that we had last week as my family and I got to enjoy church on the beach last week. Thanks be to God. As promised, this Sunday, we finish our tour of the house with the attic. Winding up in those houses with sanctifying grace that urges us on to perfection. Now, lest you and I daydream some confusion between sanctifying grace that leads us towards being perfected in love and perfectionism, let me squelch our unhealthy impulse quickly and head us towards what is different between perfectionism and being perfected in love that leads to life. Perfectionism is not being perfected in God's love and does not come from sanctification, but from a different place. I would urge you towards the health of yourself and others. Paul urged the church at Ephesus towards a grace that could not be obtained as a set of good works, those items on a checklist. You and I make these checklists. You know what I mean. The portion of the vital letter is a theological treatise of grace loaded with pragmatic nooks and crannies, but it's ultimately dependence on God. Grace that's not human achieved. It's God gifted. Wesley, in his sermon, The Scripture Way of Salvation, says it this way: do you not believe you were sanctified by faith? Be true to your principle. Look for the blessing that you are, not better or worse, a poor sinner that still has nothing to pay, nothing to plead. Christ died. And if you look for it as you are, expect it now, stay for nothing. Why should you? Christ is ready. He is all you want. He's at the door. Let your soul cry out. So part of our role in sanctification is to pattern our life in a method, notice the word, or a model where we're inviting God's presence regularly. So God is reflected through us. We're asking the question of how does our life show this model for our neighbors, the ones we're hoping aren't looking through our windows too regularly, but if they are, what are they seeing when they're looking at us? Methodist itinerant preachers on the frontier were known to carry copies of people's lives. You know, the stories that people wrote down, the spiritual biographies. And one of the ones they carried was a story of Hester Ann Rogers. This is a little bit like you and I carrying around the story of Billy Graham or Mother Teresa. They carried them in their saddlebags. Now, saddlebags don't have a lot of room, but they carried a bunch of copies of these stories of Hester Ann Rogers as they went from town to town. Now, she was the daughter of a Church of England priest. She went on to serve in the house of a Church of England priest. And when his wife died, she married him. So she was the PK who served a priest and then married another. Okay, her spiritual journeys included caring for the sick and leading classes and reading scripture and birthing children. And people ate up her life. They couldn't get enough of reading how she depended on God in the ordinary life. It sounds like you and me, doesn't it? She writes of her desire to be perfected in love, and she writes, living is often harder than dying when you are urged on to perfection. That, my friends, is sanctifying grace. You and I are seeking that same kind of life each and every day. As if we were writing the memoirs of our lives, that living day in and day out, the trials and tribulation, the opportunities for sanctification and perfecting grace, as we move from navigating professional trials and challenges to personal pitfalls, we find ourselves often hoping that the grace that comes and the grace that feels like it goes urges us on from challenge to challenge. When it's health and when it's the sting of loss, we hope that the gentleness gives us respite and rest. I wonder if this was the case for the woman with the issue of blood who had suffered for many years. Scholars today believe we might have diagnosed her with endometriosis or infertility. She could have been you or me. She could have been bounced from a rheumatologist to an oncologist. Maybe she went to see a neurologist or an acupuncturist, down the hall to a nutritionist, and sought healing from doctor to doctor to doctor. We might have said, she has an autoimmune disorder. How in the world can we treat her? And somehow she heard about this Jesus. And she thought, if I can just touch his robe, not even talk to him, I can be healed, relieved from being ostracized, no longer drained and exhausted, restored to healing and wholeness. She reaches out just to get that. I can only imagine when you and I feel like this woman with the issue of blood, when we want to reach out looking for Jesus. If we could just touch Jesus, just spend a little bit of time with Jesus, if we could just fashion our lives to get a little bit more time, we would know wholeness and restoration. We would know sanctification and be perfected in love. We would find ourselves knowing more of the community of Jesus and perhaps a little bit less of just ourselves. When a clergy person is ordained, the bishop asks some historic questions in the ceremony, and they're questions that have been reviewed previously. There are 19 of them. There's a whole bunch of questions. They date back to 1773 with the first Methodist preachers, and they vary from, do you have faith in Jesus? That's a good question to ask a preacher. To, will you visit from house to house? To, are you in debt as to embarrass yourself? And I think every preacher I've ever met answers with their fingers crossed or says, I don't embarrass very easily. But the historic questions also include these questions. Are you going on to perfection? Do you expect to be made perfect in love? Are you earnestly striving after it? And these questions are ultimately not just for the clergy. They are for all of us. In your daily life, are you going on to perfection? Not just when you're dressed up and all seems right with the world, but on an ordinary Taco Tuesday when work is particularly arduous and the kids have been pushing your button, when money is tight, when your bones have been aching, when you feel discouraged, are you depending on God for grace? Are you going on to perfection then? And you and I, do you expect to be made perfect in love then? Not are you the perfect parent. Not are you the perfect spouse, certainly not that. Not are you the perfect sibling or the perfect neighbor. Not the perfect employer or the perfect employee or the perfect friend. Do you expect, in the midst of your foibles and your struggles, to depend on God in each and every grace to be made perfect in love? It asks, where have you been depending on God? Where have you been leaning on the grace of God when you needed it the very most? And are you earnestly striving after it? You see, my friends, sanctification doesn't happen to us by accident. You don't wake up one morning sanctified and surprised, wondering, how did it happen to me? It's not like pocket dialing or a surprise purchase. There was one day during vacation Bible school that I pocket texted a whole bunch of people. It doesn't happen like that. I learned to lock my phone very carefully. Sanctification is a lifelong process that you and I work on each day of our lives that make us more Christ-like. It's the work we do when we understand that our relationship with those who are most difficult make us who we are. It's methodical. It's the daily life choices in our lives that make us a part of the encounters of how others understand Christ. You see, sanctification is the work of here and now, as well as the work of then and there. It's not something we achieve and check off the list as if it's frozen and chosen, if that language is familiar. It's the lifelong process of drawing nearer and reaching towards the hem of the robe of the one we know well. It's the means of grace where we dependably find God. It's when we go to Sunday school and join those who are searching along with us. It's where we take the challenge of reading the Bible regularly and looking at the Gospel of Mark with the rest of the congregation, visiting the sick, and giving food to the food insecure. This year has marked our highest need for our emergency food pantry. Help us feed those in our neighborhood who have that need. Wesley consistently used the imagery of a house to describe those types of grace. So I think about, as I walk into my home, I wonder if you do as well, where we meet God afresh, where God has been waiting for us, preparing a way as if we haven't fallen away from relationship, and then urging us on to perfection in love. Instead of bats in the belfry, may we know paths of peace in serving and in seeking God and God's people, both here and now, as well as then and there. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.